Welcome to the Spin Axis podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
I'm Brian Manzella.
Continuing from last week, our guest is Brian Manzella, and we're going to play the last few seconds of last week's conversation and then jump right in.
Yeah, and it's going to go crooked. It's going to go crooked with the short ball, too. That's why he doesn't do it. I will see, right? But I disagree with that. I think it's going to help the medium hitters.
Yeah, I would say, let me really rephrase that. I would say that there's between, if I was to throw out a random number, let's say 15 to 20% of the longer drives, the longer guys on tour, and the younger guys that are like maybe could hit it further but can't, they have that gear. And then the bottom 20 on the PGA Tour that are already short hitters, they don't have that gear. And that's where I'm like, well, they're just going to dissolve into nothing.
I think you'd have to go, this is what I would say about that. If you go back to the Pro V1 thing, it's the same thing, right? The people that got lost in that, they like never recovered. When the tour went to like 90% Pro V1s and copies, right? Mm-hmm. You had people that dropped off of the tour. They weren't the best players in the world, but they were like Carl Peterson when they outlawed the putter. He could never recover.
Right.
And I bet you it wasn't all short hitters. You know, like you would think the Pro V1 thing would have done the same thing in the opposite direction. If the Pro V1 helped Tiger, everybody says that, right? It helped Tiger and it hurt the short hitters like David. Okay. Then the shorter ball can't help Tiger and hurt David too. No way. So yeah. I will see.
But it helped Tiger when Tiger was one of the few people that had it at the 2000 U.S. Open. Yeah, and then when everyone got it, it raised the floor. It didn't raise the ceiling much. So probably hurt Tiger overall.
No doubt about it. But from a swing standpoint, right, there are going to be people, and I think to Jason's point, I agree with this part of it. They're not going to just roll over. In other words, everybody's got this idea of how far they hit a golf ball. That's just through the bag. And then one day they're going to say, oh, boys, here you go. Pro V1S, right, for short. And all of a sudden, they're going to try to get the same yardages. They're just human nature. Mm-hmm. And what is that going to do to the golf swing? Are all of a sudden, you know, now I know, you know, nobody can see me. At narrow elbows, or they got like, is everybody going to make
– yeah,
more of a switch to something to pick up that extra distance? Or will it just be people who were younger and had the extra distance any damn way, and they'll come up and take all the spots? Either way, it's going to change things. And to mostly what I really wanted to say about the future of the golf swing is I still think the information out there is no good. And there's good information that's out there. And I think that the way technology works and AI and all this stuff, The bad information is going to get blown to pieces here in the next 10 years. And you're going to see a lot more just good golf swings, meaning they work, right? You're going to see more of that than you do now, because you still got people teaching. I don't want to mention any names. There was a guy, you know, he's not really a teacher, but now he's teaching. And one of his players just had a good tournament and they showed a picture of him teaching the guy. Awful handle dragging. Just stuff that would have embarrassed me when I taught handle dragging. It just was all, but the guy had a great tournament, right? So you can't not give the guy credit for teaching him. He teaches the guy. He's the teacher of record.
Yep.
But that's going to go away when everybody realizes that there's real answers and all the politicking is just going to get blown up by, you're going to be able to go in your AI bot and ask a question, and it's not going to be, you ain't going to have idiot people arguing. But by the way, just in case anybody doesn't know, I pay my little extra. I don't know if you do, Eric, you know, on X, you know, to get the check mark. And then there's a check mark plus. Mm-hmm. And I get the good grok, not the best, the super grok. No, that's $200 a month.
Yep.
But I got grok plus. I got something better than like the regular people who are on X. And I'll tell you what, it's got most of the answers now. I mean, if you ask it the right question, the right way about technical aspects of the golf swing, that's a big controversy out there in the world. X, you know, is that, you know, the grok engine already knows who's right and who's wrong. So if anybody wants to go, they got a famous thing they want to go look up, they can go look it up. But that information is going to get in the hands of this next generation of teachers, even though I don't think there's a lot of them. I think they're a lot more, from what I've seen, I don't know what generation they're called. I just found out I was Generation Jones, which sounds good to me. But the guys and gals right now that are just out of college to like mid-30s, that is a very different. Now, I've known them all the way up to the guys that are 95 years old and the guys that are in the cemetery. And I'm in my group, and Eric's younger than me, and you, Jason, are younger. I don't know if y'all about the same age. Every group is different, right? Because you have different experiences. This younger group, man, they don't give about nothing except the answer. The politicking lost them. They didn't, they didn't even have to go to the nightclub to meet a gal, right? They just swiped. So they're just into it works or it doesn't, and it's right or it isn't. And they don't care if the guy telling them is, you know, in the club or not, you know.
All right. So let me ask you this, because I've read a thread somewhere, I don't think on Twitter, somewhere where someone was watching the USAM. And it's what I would call a bunch of the extreme right side bend type swings, right? The
through the ball.
Don't release right arm. Is that the future of golf instruction and golf swings? Or is that, I mean, there's an argument to be made that, you know, if you can make $10 million playing high level golf for 5 years and then retire, cool, you know, make a bunch of money, get out while you're still young. You know, you're not going to be needing to make that kind of swing when you're 40 because you can make a bunch of money when you're before you're 30 and get out. That's an argument. You know, golf is becoming more of a sport where players are not playing like Justin Rose until they're 45 and having success. They're done by 29, possibly. But is that the future of golf instruction, not just at the PGA Tour level, but for golfers in general? Because golf instruction is more than the PGA Tour.
I think that if you know, Homer Kelly had some stuff right, you swing something hard enough or try to move something fast enough, right? Like throwing a baseball. I can throw a baseball anywhere in this baseball or Nerf ball. I wouldn't want to throw a baseball in the studio, right? But I could throw a golf ball or a baseball, hit anything in here with my shoulders level to the ground. So my arm, I would hit all my monitors in front of me if I threw sidearm. So everything would be out of plane with my shoulders. You start chunking something, like I can still throw a football pretty good for an old man. Somebody videoed it like on the beach about a year ago, and it was like, technique's still good. Like the shoulder and the arm tend to find the same plane arc. I don't want to call it plane, but you know. So what you're dealing with now is you got kids that are, they get strong enough to swing like max speed, you know, maybe 15. And then time you see them in the AM, right? I mean, the two kids were what, 19 and 18 or whatever, playing in the finals. You still can do all kinds of crazy stuff with your bodies that, you know, maybe the gals can do when they're 25, but even 25-year-old guys start, the body's different. I don't care if you work out, whatever. It's just a whole different thing. You still got, you know, still have your kid body. That ain't going anywhere. If there's the reward is there for hitting the living out of it, it is, right? I mean, you hit a driver. Yep. And you hit a 7-iron to a 480-yard hole, I can't do that anymore. So if you playing me, you're going to kick my rear end because I'm hitting driver and I'm hitting like, you know, 3-hybrid. And I'm pretty good 3-hybrid player, but I ain't as good as any good young kid with a 7-iron. There's no chance, right? So there's now, will the ball go crooked enough that the long hitting isn't as big of an advantage? Or people going to, you know, I know y'all had Lou Stagna on. Are the stats going to go the other way? And they're going to finally figure out they need to grow rough. If they don't want everybody to bomb and gouge, the gouge has to be a penalty. Then you'll get, you know, you have to play courses like Olympic, whereas really, I mean, and I know in that USAM's one, match play is one thing. That's another thing about, you know, golf. If there were more match play events, there would be different players on the tour. It's just a different sport. I'm twice as good at match play as I am at stroke play. A lot of good that did me, right? I think I got to play in two match play tournaments my whole life. That was before I turned pro. So I think it's not going anywhere. I just can't imagine that people are going to teach it. I think people are going to do it, and the teachers are going to kind of
people are teaching it now, and you know that.
Yeah, I mean, they're teaching it now. They're teaching diving at the ball, too, which I don't think is going to last very long. But extreme right side bend, not going anywhere until the ball goes crookeder if you swing at it like, you know, every single person I teach who you would ever say has a chance to play decent mini tour golf swings 95 miles an hour with a 7-iron cruising.
If you've been listening to this podcast, you probably already know the importance of doing things like centering your shot pattern between hazards off the tee, being properly aggressive into the greens, and knowing where and how you both gain and lose shots during your rounds of golf. Shot Pattern is the golf strategy GPS app that allows you to do those things and more in real time on the golf course. Shot Pattern's tournament legal display allows you to quickly overlay your shot dispersion on the hole in front of you to pick smarter targets and shoot lower scores. The practice mode has even more for you to learn and improve. SpinAxis listeners can learn more and receive 20% off a one-year subscription by visiting shotpattern.app/spinaxis.
Nobody swung that hard. Jim Dent. Then Jim Dent could pick, when I watched Jim Dent and when he was the longest hitter on tour, he could have picked me up. I was about 160 pounds. He could have picked me up and threw me from one gallery rope to the other one. And he hit a 7-iron about 165 yards.
He probably wanted
yards.
To a few times, right?
No. I was a fan of Jim Denton. Jim Thorpe, you know, great guy too. No, but I'm just saying, Nicklaus, you know, I watched him hit a million shots in person. He was a, you know, I mean, obviously 7-iron now is an 8-iron. But he was still, let's say, 8-iron went 165 for Nicklaus. That's nothing. That's just a little bit further than I hit it. So he was obviously just tapping the ball because there was no, they had figured out there was no advantage to hitting it 20 or 30 yards further. Now there is. So as long as there's an advantage to hit it that far, you'll have people getting in the extreme positions to hit it that far. And just because their body will, they will seek that position, even though I'm not teaching anybody to do that.
Yeah. So do you think the golf swing is going to diverge from whether you're, you know, let's say you get the kids, right? And if you're a great 12-year-old, you're on a different path than someone who might be like, you know, I've heard it said, like, you don't want to be the best 15-year-old golfer in the world. You want to be the best 22-year-old golfer in the world and things like that. But that's not often now, not how it shakes out. You know, the parents have a good 12-year-old and they're like, let's keep getting better. And they look at the short-term gains, like, oh, he needs a college scholarship. Oh, he needs this, not the long-term plan. And also, like I said, there's a lot of money in golf now. So if we get the extreme right side bend, if that is a way to generate speed when you're 15, 17, 18, 19, but not when you're 40, then does golf instruction diverge into here's the tour swing that will get you on tour and keep you there for 4 or 5 years. And then here's, oh, now you're 30, now you're 35. Oh, you need to swing this way because you need to live and go to work on Monday and stuff like that for the rest of your career.
Will's Zalatoris syndrome, right? Basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So does golf swing instruction diverge into the tour swing, short term, high burst, whatever you want to call it, and regular golf instruction for regular people?
It's a great question. I think it should have diverged a long time ago because most people can't hit a shot and they need to be fixed of their like malady. You know, that's the reality of regular golf. They're really, really, really long hitters, like longer than any of these guys. Like Berkshire, he doesn't have extreme right side.
Right.
So, but I just think it's a thing that there was always people that did it. You know, really, and Middlecoff was way more right side bent. You know, for people who don't know, he won like 45 tournaments.
Would you put Lee Trevino in that group?
Oh, but again, you know, right. if you're standing in New Orleans and the hole is in Chicago, that's I-55 goes straight to Chicago. If you're standing in New Orleans and you're trying to hit it and you're aiming at Seattle, you're going to have to right side bend. Yeah. Or the ball is not going all the way back to Minnesota. So, but no doubt about it, he had extreme right side bend. But again, like the body difference, right? That dude was a lot stronger than people think he was. Mm-hmm. He was built like a spark plug. I mean, he's the kind of guy that, you know, like that Ashton Gentry guy that, you know, the football player. He's a little like spark plug. If you hit him, he's just going to kind of bounce right off of you. Whereas Zalatoris,
Happy Gilmore's caddy,
is skinnier than Miller was when he was skinny. He's just like a, you know, a string bean. And obviously his body's going to get into positions. You know, but like Nelly Korda hits it pretty far for a gal, and she's super flexible, and she does an extremely right side bend. I don't see that ever taking over golf instruction in any way, shape, or form because it's just too small a group of people. That And the ones who'll do it will do it anyway, even though they're not being taught to.
Have you?
I don't think any of these people who are teaching it, I know you made a real good point about there are people that are teaching it. I don't think they're having any kind of like great success, maybe social media success. But.
Yeah, because kids are good at jumping and they're good at spinning. What they're not good at is using their arms. So we all have a lot of juniors that will spin and jump. And so they get into this, their trail arm, their right arm, stays bent for a long time because they can't get it down. And so they get good at that. So coaches just keep going down that path. And some of them are good enough to win the US Amateur or play in it and get to the Final Eight or whatever. And so the short-term success versus long-term success is always a tough thing. One of my better junior players playing D1 college had back pain at 15, and like we moved away from that pattern. That's the pattern he kind of came up with on his own as a spinner and a jumper, and for him highly spinny, but we moved away from that because we kind of had to make a conscious choice to be like, dude, you're 15 and your back hurts already, like you want to play at least through college. It's always an interesting time when that comes up with a student. Which way do we go? Like, where do we want to go? Do you want to be the best 15 and 17 year old, or do you want to be able to play golf for a long time, play in college, keep developing, keep getting better?
Well, the thing about that is it's just so hard to get on tour that planning to like cash out in 5 years is just a really bad strategy.
Yeah.
You know, and I see what Michael Jacobs did with Harrington. Like he could, like when he came to see Mike, he could swing 130 max. You know, working with Gankus and all the crazy Gankus moves, lots of right side bend and shit. But the next swing, he go 130, 117 on the next swing. So yeah. if the speed was that variable, imagine the shot, you know?
Yeah.
And he basically got him way more orthodox, moved his center of mass 6 inches further forward, and now he looks like a normal person hitting a golf ball. And he plays a lot better. He's won 3 senior majors and he almost won 1, you know, regular major on the way out. And his best young student, Pei Chung Chen, very, very orthodox body positions because he spent all his time, you know, cutting up bodies with Tom Myers, that he knows that if you get into Will Zalatoris' position, when somebody cuts you up one day in one of those seminars, they're going to go, wow, there's something going on here on the right side of that rib cage. It's just not, I don't think you hit the ball better doing it. I think you can hit it further maybe. So even though like Zalatoris is a great iron player, and it's a shame. I hope he figures it out because he's got star power. Like some people, you flip the screen, you know, you flip on TV and they're playing and you go, but like he actually was like worth watching. So I pull for the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, to sort of talk in like my little two bits into like where the swing was, where it went to and where it's headed. I mean, I remember watching golf with my grandpa, and the golf swings that I remember were super athletic. Yeah. They made a motion at the golf ball. And then all of a sudden, like you said, Brian, it was like, all right, let's condense it. Let's compress it. And it was like, why are we doing that?
Well, I would say the first thing, I would say that you brought up a great point, Jason. You're 100% right. And I'm not blaming them for this, okay, because the guys had a Hall of Fame teaching career. But Hank Haney was the first teacher, because you got to understand now, the Sony Handycam came out in 1985. The first article that was ever written about Hank Haney is this up-and-coming guy, Mark O'Mara, 1985. So now you had a video of somebody swing. I had the first camcorder. And he was the first guy that said, when this club comes back to first parallel, it's got to be right on your hands. Right behind me, I've got all the books I thought were, not all, but a lot of the books I thought were worth buying for the second time after I lost my entire world in Katrina. And I can tell you, there's a lot of old books up there with old swings. And nobody did that unless they were a fader. Nobody did what McIlroy does now and does a lot of, you know, underneath the shaft lifting. They have the club go back out. And then without looking like he's looping it, obviously looping it some, they hit a big, you know, swing and draw with the driver. That's a lot harder to do and a lot less natural looking than the guys who drew it before there was video. And then they just took it back in. Then Arnold Palmer took it back inside. Sam Snead took it back inside. Yeah. Those guys look plenty athletic, right? And by the way, would knock you out. If anybody thinks those two guys couldn't play the tour now, they're nuts. Absolutely nuts. But they did. They figured out a way to hit a golf ball and they didn't have anybody telling them when they hit it good that they didn't want to do it. And I thought, and I think Eric would agree with this, that I thought, and a lot of people did, I don't know if Eric did, but he'll agree with my point, that when TrackMan came out, you thought, okay, finally, people are just going to go, geez-em, Lee, you light this thing up like a pinball machine. You might as well just keep doing what you're doing. Go ahead and aim 30 yards left, you know, take it back way out and loop it in. Orville Moody, all the funny swings, you would have never, Furyk, you know, you would have had more people leaving it alone. And that's only happened a little. I thought it was going to happen a lot, but it's only happened a little. But I really think that AI is going to help. I think you're going to be able to real soon, I'd say in five, definitely inside of 5 years, you're going to stand in front of a camera or whatever the device is. It might be just some cloud. You're going to stand in front of a camera. It's going to do a 3D body scan of you. It's going to know what you can do. And it's going to give you and the teacher a couple options right away. And it will be you, because AI, right? It'll be you swinging the way you ought to, if it's like Chen or Jim Furyk. It's gonna, there you're gonna be in your Titleist hat, you know, and you're gonna be swinging like Ray Floyd or whoever the AI thinks fits your body type, and you're gonna say, you know, I like the one on the upper right, teacher. Can we work on that? And then you're gonna have a path to that, which is thoroughly not the way it's being done right now. You know, most teachers, I don't care what they say, they're method teachers. They have something, and God bless you if you fit in it, because then you're going to go someplace. But if you don't, you've just made a wrong turn and went to the wrong side of, you know, you instead of going to the east end of Louisville, you went to the west end. You don't want to go there at 11 o'clock at night.
A lot of teachers would say they call them preferences, but a lot of them, I would agree, are, they're going to teach you one way and they'll say, this is my preference, but they never teach the other thing. They never go against their preferences.
It's like one plane, two plane. And look, I think there's a lot of great, you know, hardy disciples out there, but I'm just saying, none of them teach two plane. You guess, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They have one plane and two plane, but they all teach one plane. But at the end of the day, the AI is going to win a lot of these battles, including like, how should that person swing? Or if, maybe not how should it, because you don't know how their brain, you know, is going to work under pressure. Maybe they just couldn't hit a draw under pressure for whatever reason, some kind of thing in their coconut. They don't see it that way. But it's going to eliminate a lot of these really bad ideas. Like, hey, Luke Donald, I think it's a really good idea. You go see Chuck Cook.
Yep.
So you took the number one player in the world and arguably a top at least 25 teacher in the world at the time, and just bad fit, terrible fit.
Yep.
Maybe the worst arranged marriage in the history of the tour, right? That's a Sean Foley special for you right there. He did that arranged marriage. Not wasn't the greatest idea.
No, I saw it at Oak Hill and still scratching my head over that one.
But. Yeah, but I mean, that's just a perfect example. You can have a good teacher, and but Butch has ruined a few swings too. He's the king. Got to give him credit, but he's ruined some swings, and Pete Cowan too. Like, what the heck is going on with Brooks Koepka's backswing? Doesn't look anything like when he won those majors. He might be spiraling, but he ain't winning. Right, I would go back to the outside, never hook again pattern they used to do, because that seemed to work for him. Right, he just swing hard, it never went left. And then, you know, if you go back and watch those majors that he won, he just out-putted everybody.
Yeah,
but he's not hitting it good right now. And it's obviously, Cowan's supposedly a great teacher, and he's had a lot of success. Not with Butch, not with and Butch too, you know, but not with certain players. But Butch helped the heck out of Koepka. So far, Cowan's had you know, and that's what makes people think that anything must be okay. If there's other ways to swing, then anything must. And that's asinine, because not everything is going to work in golf, right? I mean, it's just 11 degrees inside out.
Like, did
you? That doesn't work.
No. Okay. But I've seen it in this studio a lot.
Yep. Well, Brian, I want to thank you for coming on. We can talk for a lot longer than this, and we'll have you back on sometime in the future.
Awesome.
Brian, where can people find more information about Brian Manzella?
Yeah, on the socials, you know, just at Brian Manzella, and, you know, brianmanzellagolf.com, or, you know, I do a lot of these shows. I like talking about golf, you know, 43 years of this fooling around with golf swing information. And as you can tell, I have an opinion. and I want to help people. So I love talking about it. And I'd come on anytime.
Awesome. Well, thanks again.
Yeah, we like talking to you.
And for everyone else, you can find us on socials at The Spin Axis and online at thespinaxis.com.
Thank you for joining us, Brian.
All right, boys. Have a good one. Thanks for having me on.